You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on March 25th, 2021. And this is the last episode for the month of March, so we're going to be doing our monthly news roundup. So rather than focusing on just one story, as we have been over the last few weeks, we're going to be briefly talking about a few different stories from the news this month. This week, we're talking about the charge that Jesus was a racist, three homosexual men becoming the legal parents of two children, and the discovery of more Dead Sea Scrolls. For links to the stories that we're going to be talking about, as well as related materials, you can check out the show notes, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/032521. Now, before we get into talking about these stories, let me invite you to go and check out Cobb Publishing, located online at cobbpublishing.com. That's C-O-B-B publishing.com. There you'll find new books by current authors, books from authors from previous generations that have been reformatted and put back in print, and also a quarterly magazine called The Quarterly. Covers a wide range of biblical topics. You can even subscribe to the digital version of the quarterly for free. So visit cobbpublishing.com to subscribe to that and also to check out the other materials that they have available there. Now for our stories this week. First story, did Jesus commit the sin of racism? The link is from Ken Williver's website, thepreachersword.com. He says, Brandon Robertson, a homosexual minister, author, and theologian, recently posted a TikTok video titled, Jesus a Racist, as reported by Milton Quintanilla, a contributor for ChristianHeadlines.com. In the video, Robertson claims that Jesus used a racial slur in his encounter with the Syrophoenician woman who asked Christ to heal her daughter from a demon in Mark 7:24 through 30. Jesus' response to this request was, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, to the little dogs. The woman replied, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Calling her a dog, Robertson claims, was racist and typical of the strong biases within the Jewish community, and especially against the woman who was Syrian and Greek. He further opines, I love this story because it's a reminder that Jesus is human. He had prejudices and biases, and when confronted with it, he was willing to do his work, and this woman was willing to stand up and speak truth. Her boldness and bravery to speak truth to power actually changes Jesus' mind. Jesus repents of his racism and extends healing to this woman's daughter, he concluded. Now, this story came out a couple of weeks ago, and I'll admit I haven't watched this video, whether on TikTok or the video that has been shared in other places. And to be honest, I have a hard time listening to people like this, especially so-called ministers. When they make claims like this individual made, that Jesus sinned and needed to repent. And so I won't watch the video because I will just be angry. I'll be upset about it. And I'm just not going to do it. This guy obviously doesn't follow the same Jesus that I do. Sometimes it's necessary to watch and listen to this sort of thing. So I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't ever do that or I don't ever do that. But when I can, I avoid it. Thankfully, Ken Williver addressed this in an article on his website, and I'll link to it in the show notes. But just briefly, I wanted to call attention to the three points that he made to answer this false charge that Jesus was guilty of racism on this occasion. Point number one that he made is the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus never sinned. This is important because if Jesus did sin, whether it's the sin of racism or anything else, if Jesus sinned, he could not have been the Son of God. He could not have been a suitable sacrifice on the cross for our sins, which would mean all of us are without hope. If Jesus sinned, then we have no hope. The second point Wheeliver made was that Robertson fails to properly exegete the text. He approached the text looking for something that would support his liberal secular ideology, and that is not the way to interpret the Bible. We need to be careful not to be reading our worldview, our prejudices, and our biases into the text, but that is exactly what this guy was doing. The only way you can make a claim that Jesus demonstrated racism here is because you're looking for something. You're looking for a way to accuse Jesus of this. And it's not there. That's not how you approach the text. You don't read your conclusions into it and then try to prove that they're there. But the third point that he made in answering this claim is that Jesus came to do the Father's will and establish a kingdom that would be inclusive. Jesus died for all. His kingdom would be open to all. And this was the plan from the beginning. He didn't change his mind. He didn't have some racist view of this woman and then change his mind. And now, well, he wasn't planning on saving everyone or dying on the cross for everyone, but now all of a sudden he's going to do that. No, this was the plan from the beginning. Jesus came to die on the cross for the world. And he offered salvation to all. His kingdom is open to all. Now, sadly, there are some people who are willing to twist the scriptures, which is exactly what this person did, twist the scriptures and condemn Jesus as a sinner in order to defend their position. And I think it's important, even if we don't sit and watch this guy's video, it's important that we are at least aware of how this is happening so we can help others not be led astray, because there are people who will think, well, that, you know, what he says makes sense, or I never thought about it that way. We need to be careful and help other people to see where this is wrong. You can read more about this. And again, I mentioned Ken Wheeliver's three points that he made, but he goes into more explanation on those. You can see his article at the link in the show notes. There's also another article there that I wrote about the life of Jesus, that part of that article is about how Jesus lived a sinless life. And again, that is important. If Jesus did not live a sinless life, he could not have been the Son of God, and he was unqualified to make a sacrifice for our sins, and again, we would be without hope. Christianity is destroyed if Jesus committed a sin. So this is not something that, well, you know, what he says doesn't really matter. No, it is important. It completely destroys the gospel. It completely destroys the way of Christ and the way of salvation that is open to all of us. The second story that we're going to be talking about this week, a California judge names homosexual male thruple. And no, I didn't misspeak. That's a real word, or at least in quotes in the article. A homosexual male thruple as legal parents of two children. Now, what is a thruple? Well, link from the article from Discern. It says a California judge has ruled in favor of three men being listed as the legal parents of two children born to surrogate mothers using donor eggs. The two children who belong to the homosexual male, quote, thruple, are half siblings. One of the legal guardians, Ian Jenkins, has written about the thruple's unorthodox relationship in the book, Three Dads and a Baby. So you think about what a couple is. It's two people who are, when we think of the context of marriage or another type of relationship, you have two people that are involved in that relationship. Well, here you have three who are involved in this relationship, three men, three homosexual men who are involved in this relationship, and now they have been granted legal status as parents, all three of them together, of these two children. God designed marriage to be between one man and one woman for life. Jesus explained in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6, that God made them from the beginning male and female. He says, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. That is God's design. You have one man, you have one woman, They come together, they're joined together by God, and they're in that relationship for life. And by this design, he also shows that the plan for raising children would be that they would have a father and a mother, because sexual relations that lead to children being produced, that is confined to the marriage relationship. Passages like Hebrews 13 and verse 4 talk about that. Now, of course, sometimes there are other arrangements where you don't have a father and a mother, and those arrangements are necessary due to sin. Maybe you have the father who abandons the family, abandons the mother, and she's left on her own to care for these children. It could be some situation where you have people not married, they are in a relationship, the woman or maybe the young girl, depending on how old they are, she becomes pregnant, and then the father of that child disappears and wants nothing to do with it. She's left to help raise these children on her own. Sometimes you have both parents out of tragedy, not any sin that's committed, but maybe both parents die in a car accident or something like that. And then you have grandparents who are left to care for these children. Those things happen. And in those situations, people have to do the best that they can. But the ideal situation, as we see what God designed for marriage and for the family, is for one man and one woman, a father and a mother, working together to raise whatever children they might have, either born to them or adopted by them. They would raise those children together. However, this is something completely different. This is not that, well, here's a mother and her husband's abandoned her. Now she's left to do the best she can raising those kids. Or you have one parent dies, or maybe both parents die, and then others are left to raise those children. This is not that type of situation. The court's ruling here shows a complete disregard for the best interest and well-being of those children. They will grow up without a mother, not due to tragedy, but due to the arrogant and selfish decision of three adults. And they will grow up in a household arrangement that is a mockery of God's perfect plan. Yet they're going to be taught growing up that this is completely normal and wholesome and good. And it's sad that we live in a society where a court system would even entertain this type of idea. But this type of thing is going on. It is happening. And we need to, I think it's important, we see that this is going on. There are some links in the show notes, not only to this article, where you can read about this whole situation and how it came to be and everything that's going on with it. I also linked to some materials that I have available on my website. One is part of a series on social issues about, and the particular article is about homosexuality. And we've talked about that before in other episodes. But there's also a link there that's part of a series on parenting that I put together, Bringing Up Children in the Lord, and particularly the part of that series that talks about the home in which children are raised. What is God's design for the home? It's not for three men in a homosexual relationship to raise children. That's not God's design for the home. So I'll have a link to that article. That article and the whole series is available for free on the website. It is also available in paperback if you are interested in the whole series and having it in that format. I'll link to that as well. Then the last story. Israeli experts announced discovery of more Dead Sea Scrolls. And shout out to LaCroix Hatcher of Liberation Podcast. He was the first one that I saw with this story. And so I'll link to his podcast in the show notes so you can check out his podcast as well. But from the Associated Press, it says, Israeli archaeologists on Tuesday announced the discovery of dozens of Dead Sea Scroll fragments bearing a biblical text found in a desert cave and believed hidden during a Jewish revolt against Rome nearly 1,900 years ago. The fragments of parchment bear lines of Greek text from the books of Zechariah and Nahum and have been dated around the first century based on the writing style, according to the Israel Antiquities Authority. They are the first new scrolls found in archaeological excavations in the desert south of Jerusalem in 60 years. The Dead Sea Scrolls, a collection of Jewish texts found in desert caves in the West Bank near Qumran in the 1940s and 50s, date from the 3rd century BC to the 1st century AD. They include the earliest known copies of biblical texts and documents outlining the beliefs of a little understood Jewish sect. The roughly 80 new pieces are believed to belong to a set of parchment fragments found in a site in southern Israel known as the Cave of Horror, named for the 40 human skeletons found there during excavations in the 1960s. They also bear a Greek rendition of the 12 Minor Prophets, a book in the Hebrew Bible. The cave is located in a remote canyon about 40 kilometers or 25 miles south of Jerusalem. It's always interesting and exciting to hear about new archaeological discoveries like this. Because why this is important is because all genuine historical finds will only provide more evidence for the reliability of the Bible. And these discoveries continue to be made that as we hear about them, as they're discovered, we learn about them, we see that the Bible is reliable. We can trust what is found in it. And as we see the Bible, as we see proof and evidence that the Bible is reliable, that further confirms that it is the truth that comes from God. So you can read more about this at the link in the show notes. But that's all for this week. Thanks for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to the news stories that were cited, as well as other relevant links, you can visit the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/032521. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, subscribe and rate to the podcast there. Also, if you know of others who would be interested in hearing this discussion or the podcast in general, again, we are talking about current events from a biblical perspective. So if you know of others who would be interested in this, share this episode or share the podcast itself with them, and I would appreciate that. Also, if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion, please send me the link. You can email that to me, andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.